band together. Here we go. And God is an awesome God.
And God is an awesome God. He reigns forever and ever. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns forever and ever.
Our God is an awesome God. He reigns.
He reigns forever and ever. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns.
Listen.
Forever and ever.
Our God is a holy God. He reigns forever. I'm gonna say it again. Y'all don't have me out here by myself. How many people know that God is a good God? Yeah. And his mercy endures forever? I'm gonna give y'all an opportunity to be the preacher for the day. I want you to tell five people, say, God is good, God is good, God is good, God is good, God is good.
Everybody say, unto the Lord,
mercy endureth forever. Cover yourself with what we're saying. The devil tried to kill you, but you got away. The devil tried to kill you, but you got away. Point to him. The devil tried to kill you, but you got away. Tell your neighbor. The devil tried to kill you, but you got away. Come on. Say it again. The devil tried to kill you, but you got away. Hold up. I got some machismo, macho men in here. If somebody was shooting at you and you got away, would you stand there saying, I got away? Listen, I've been shot at, so I understand. When you get away, you are ecstatic. You are. All right, let's try it again. The devil tried to kill you, but you got away. Tell him. The devil tried to kill you, but you
got away.
Come on.
The devil tried to steal you, but you got away.
Come on and say it.
The devil tried to kill you, but you got
away. Everybody clap your hands. Here we go. Somebody open your mouth and scream in this place and shout. Hallelujah. God, thank you for delivering us. Thank you, Father, for keeping us. Thank you for consoling us. We could continue that list all day long, but we'd rather lift our hands and open our mouths and worship you and love on you. You've done so much for us, we dare not hold back on you. So we withhold nothing. We don't care if our makeup runs. We withhold nothing. We don't care if they say, you look weird with your hands up. We understand what you've done for us. And we understand who you are. So we say, I surrender all to you. Everything I give to you, withholding nothing, oh, withholding nothing. Say it real soft. I surrender. Everything, God.
Everything I give to you.
Withholding nothing. I surrender all, split it up.
Withholding nothing.
Over the building, say it.
I give you all of me. I give you all of me.
I give you
all of me. I give you all of me.
You know, one of the main things dealing with walking with God is surrendering. You know, his passion is for you and I to really know him, to walk with him. Not religion. Church can't save you. Religion can't save you. Pastor can't save you. Mommy, daddy can't save you. But really knowing him. And you know, we all have things in our lives. Let's be honest. We all have things we struggle with. But today, God is putting us in a position where we have the opportunity to have a supernatural breakthrough in our lives where we can surrender those parts of our lives that really maybe nobody else even knows about. Today, I want to challenge you as we sing this song again. You can stand, you can sit, you can kneel, you can come to the altar. Really, where you stand in this building makes no difference. But what matters, some of you might even need to go face the wall. But what matters is that you will actually surrender your life to Jesus this morning. And you say, God, I just want you. When everything is said and done, when the dust clears, When the trumpet of God sounds, the only thing we have is our walk with God. And I challenge you today to surrender a new level of your life to Jesus. As we sing that again, find that spot. Some of you just need to lift your hands. You know, the Bible says, lifting your hands without wrath or malice, and it declares that I surrender. Some of you have never stepped out in worship. Today is your day. It's time to surrender and do something with Christ that you've never done before because he has so much more for you. Please don't surrender to your flesh. Surrender to Jesus. Amen. Can we sing that again? Let's just get your hands to heaven. Jesus, I just surrender right now. Couldn't you pray with me right now? Dear Jesus, I surrender right now.
I surrender right now.
Those areas of my life that are holding me back, you already showed me what they were. I know what they are. And I've even tried at times. But today, I'm asking for a supernatural touch. The anointing to be released. That as I sing this song, the bondage of my life will be broken in Jesus' name. Because you are here. In Jesus' name. Come on. Let's surrender. Give it all to him.
I give you all of me.
I give you all of me.
Not some of me, but all. Tell him, I give. have your special moment with him now. Lift those hands, if they're not lifted, to give him everything means you have to evaporate your pride. I don't want it done my way. I want it done his way. If you give him your all, he'll give you the best. The spirit of dejection and rejection is being canceled in the life of the people of God who felt like life is not where it's supposed to be. I'm ministering to myself. But God says, I need all. Not 75% of you, but all. He will return back what has been taken. He will give more than what you ever had. Just give him all. Every man in here that's trying to provide for your family, just give him all. It'll make you more of a man. Let your family see you in the posture of worship, giving him all. Whisper that. I give you all of me. I give you all of me. Driving home. I give you all of me. I give you all of me. I give you all of me.
this morning, God's not interested in three songs and you're out. He's interested in your heart. You see, he can have everything in this world that he desires. It's his. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. But the one thing that he desires so desperately that he can't just take is you. You've got to be willing to give you. And today, that's really what his greatest heart is. Remember, people on this earth, they seek so many things. They seek gold and they seek silver. But in heaven, gold is just pavement. What God is hungry for is you. You know, we can do our three songs, we're out, but what good is that if he doesn't have any more of us than when we began? What have you laid down to Jesus this morning? What have you given him right now? What are you surrendering? We just sang a whole song on surrender. What have you surrendered to Jesus today that maybe you have never surrendered before? I challenge you. It's worth it. Everything he does in our lives is worth it. Our flesh might scream a little and say, no, I don't want to do that. But when you surrender to Jesus, oh my goodness, what he does is change us. And you know, a church can't do that. A religion can't do that. A pastor can't do that. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. And today, he's knocking on your heart. Have you surrendered? What are you hanging on to? Oh, you say in your head, I got a right to. Oh my goodness. You might have the right, but rights don't always mean you're right. And some of you, you lay hold of some good things, but just because it's good doesn't mean it's God. What are you doing? What do you have that's holding you back? Can you just bow your head for just 1 second and ask the Holy Spirit, what is that thing? What is that? And I want you to know that if you're going to be willing to lay that on the altar today, with all of your rights, I guarantee you that Christ will replace it with something that you never even fathomed was as good as you could ever have. Taste and see that the Lord is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Amen. Father, Lord, as our heads are bowed, God, I know we could do our good religious service. I know how to do that, Jesus. But God, without you, it means nothing. We've wasted our time. So Holy Spirit, we surrender. Put that knowledge in our heart. Bring it back up, God. Even those things we've submerged that we have not made right. Lord, those things that we're hanging on to that we know are holding us back. Father, we just say we surrender. Because we want your greatness in our life. And Lord, we're unwilling to just be satisfied with the religion. We want you. We want to know you. And this is eternal life, that you may know the Father and the Son whom he has sent. We want to know you. And we know, as we grow towards you, all the things of the world will fall away because of our passion for Christ. Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. So, Father, there are some in the room that don't even have a hunger for you anymore. Holy Spirit, only you can deposit that. Stir that in their heart. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And everybody receiving it said? I said everybody receiving said? Amen. On your way back to your chair, make sure you welcome 3 or 4 folks. Say, good morning. I'm going to have a passion for Christ like I've never had before. Don't sit down. If you are sitting down, please stand up. Make sure you turn around and get to meet somebody. Don't be a snob this morning. We're a very friendly church. marvelous today. Come on, don't be a snob this morning.
This month, and we need your help. We've come up with a great idea to partner with the city to help clean up after the 4th of July. If each volunteer gets $100 worth of sponsors, we can meet our final goal of $10,000. Get your pledge sheet and sign up in the foyer today.
Praise thanks God for what he did. Let me show you the difference between praise and worship. The praiser thanking God for his shoes. The worshiper says, if I don't have no shoes, if I don't have no car, if I don't have any house, if I never get anything, I worship you for who you are. I worship you because you're God. You don't have to perform. You don't have to impress me. But just because you're God, you mean so much to me. I'll tear up my face and cry. Mess up my makeup and cry. I'll shake down my hair and cry. Oh, you're so valuable. Your presence is valuable. Your love is valuable. Your peace is valuable.
Praise the Lord. Isn't that powerful?
I actually put that in my calendar as soon as that ended in first service. I entered it into my calendar, July 22nd, 7 p.m.
The night of worship. You want to make sure that you're part of that. Turn to someone and say this morning, say, you look beautiful today. If you're a guy, he's going to smirk at you and say, dear Lord, really? You just said that to me? You're going to be all right. We want to welcome all of our guests today. We are so blessed when folks come to the house of God and they visit us. And we want you to know that this is an amazing body of Christ. They're very friendly here. And honestly, we preach the gospel solid. As you can tell, the worship is really good. Now, we know that we always get guests that are in the style of church that they've never been to before. And we want you to know you're going to be all right. We call it white knuckle disease. It's when you're hanging onto the chair so tight in front of you, your knuckles are about ready to bust loose. We want you to know you're going to be all right. Can you turn to the person next to you and say, you're going to be all right? You really are. In fact, we always encourage all of our guests to come at least three times. Shout three. Three times for a reason. Sometimes the first time is like, oh my goodness, what did I get myself into? By the second one, it's like, you know, it's not that bad. By the third one, you're going to have a real hard time going back to the quiet church. Because we're going to get the excitement, the power of God flowing in your life. Our goal is to see you excel and to do what God's will is for your heart. Amen? I said, amen. So if you're a first-time guest, we're not going to make you stand or do anything weird. But you're a first-time guest, we have a gift for you. We'd like to bless you with. If you're a first-time guest this morning, if you raise your hand, we have folks that are ready for, there you go, right over there, young lady. Anybody else? First-time guest, we have a present for you. Over here, young couple. Yeah, you're not first. You're not a first-time guest. Right over here. And we got folks in the front row. We got everybody running to the back. Come on, daughter-in-law. Here we go. Here we go. Down front, down here too. Hallelujah. Front row. Jade, there we go. There's a young lady right there. Oh, a lot of guests this morning. If you didn't get a gift, we'd like to bless you one. Can we give all of our guests a hand clap this morning? Thank you so much for being with us. We're blessed. We also want to say a big shout out to our online campus. People from all over the world are watching right now. They're participating. You might think we're in the middle of a cornfield, but they don't know that. They can only see the sanctuary of the altar. And so we welcome our online campus. Can we give them a hand clap as well? I just want to say thank you to all the folks that are online that are tithers and givers, and you're sowing into the kingdom here. I'm so excited, all the things we've been able to do just this year to build the community. And as you saw, uproar is coming in 1 month. Or actually, it's less than a month. In less than a month, the uproar will have over 1,000 teenagers filling this room. That's a lot of teenagers. They're going to come from all over the Northeast, all the way down, I believe, to Virginia. West Virginia's coming. Virginia's coming. Carolinas, I believe, are coming. Florida is coming. We got a bunch of folks from all over. We're going to fill this house. And what? We actually have a plan in case we hit over 1,000, what we're going to do with the rest of the teenagers. So we just want to encourage you, if you haven't sown into that, please do so. And also, we have the Shuttlesworth Revival, Rock the City, in September. That is going to be awesome. We just came back from Brother Ted's Tent Revival in Buffalo this week. And man, there's a young girl born blind, and right in front of everybody, God opened her blind eyes. She actually opened a book and was able to read it for the very first time in her entire life. I believe there was a girl who was mute as well. She was deaf and mute. Her ears got healed, and for the very first time, she was able to speak because she could hear. Isn't that awesome? God does miracles. I said, God does miracles. If you don't believe in miracles, for goodness sakes, your God's weak. My God is awesome. He can raise the dead. Amen. How many of you love the Lord? I said, how many of you love the Lord? Amen. I just did my very first. I did my very first yard sale yesterday. I got a good suntan. The good part, I didn't make a lot of money. But what I did do was I was able to walk around. You know, it's a yard sale down on 14. And you wouldn't believe how many people walked up and said, where's your beautiful wife, Rhonda? Which means they watch the telecast every single week because that's on the telecast. So I would encourage you, make sure you invite your friends. If they won't come to church for the very first time, the way to bring them in is to get them on the television. Amen? And we're on TV, ABC, every Sunday morning at 7:30, and also CBS every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. Our telecast is reaching all the way to Alfred University, all the way to Ithaca, all the way down to Mansfield and Wellsboro, all the way down almost to Binghamton. And we just are excited to be able to share the gospel all over the region. And turn to someone and say, thank you. Come on, tell somebody, thank you. For without your faithfulness, it could not happen. Amen? The vision is perpetuated by visionaries, and you are visionaries for Christ.
Amen. Wow. What a powerful time in worship this morning. You, for coming to the house of God, are so brilliant. When we were in the time of worship this morning, I heard the Spirit of God say to me that a seed sown in darkness, whether it's watered or not, is stunted and doesn't grow. But when it is sown and the light is shined upon it, it will accelerate in its growth. So the fact that you bring yourself in the presence of the light that shines on you will accelerate your growth. Amen. God is so good. I have a testimony to share in this time of tithe and offering this morning. One of the questions that is never usually spoken out loud in a congregation, but that everyone sits and thinks, why should I tithe? right? Why should I tithe? The reason we tithe from the Word of God, because he says that 10%, the tithe, is holy to me. It belongs to God. And we honor God by giving him our tithe. The other part of why we tithe is because when we do that, his word says in Deuteronomy 28 that then our 90% is supernaturally blessed. Amen. That's what I want, is my 90% supernaturally blessed. But I had such a fabulous testimony this morning from Marge, and she was able to share that she is a faithful tither and a sower in the kingdom of God. And in the last month, God has accelerated her so much that she was able to triple her tithe. Did you hear what she said, though? I love that so much. Not that God blessed her triple with income. She was able to triple her tithe. That is awesome that her heart was to be able to give her tithe to the Lord. And in that, God clearly blessed her 90% three times. The other thing that our tithe does is if we just took our own money and tried to change a community and bring hope to a whole community, we might not get very far. But when we tithe and we bring the finances into God's kingdom, we are able to then, like Pastor was sharing, all the things that we're doing, and even through the TV program that's broadcast every Sunday morning, we are able to then change our community, bring hope and restoration to our community when we faithfully tithe to the house of God. So that is why we tithe. Amen? Amen. So let's stand to our feet. We're going to make our supernatural declaration. And this is simply the word of God. It's found in Deuteronomy 28. And if you'll repeat after me, it says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in. And I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. And I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings and honor the Lord with us today. If you're watching via live stream, you can click on the giving button and get right along with us.
Praise the Lord. We are just so blessed in this house, and I'm just so thankful. Can I give a shout out to all the men that work in the parking lot? We have folks that are out there. I'm talking like in the dead of winter, the coldest of days. They won't even take a coffee never mind how hot it gets. I just want to, can we give the folks that work in the parking lot a hand clap? Also, we want to thank God for all of the ushers. Can we give the ushers a hand clap this morning? Listen, they're busy. They're busy. The ushers are busy in this house. And we also want to give a shout out to the sound team. Can we give a shout out to the sound team? And many of you don't know that up in the corner, up in the balcony, is the entire media team. They're not only cutting for here for what you're seeing, but they're also at the same time cutting for online, for live stream, at the same time cutting for television. All's happening at the same time, but you never meet them. Can you give them a shout? Sometimes we just forget how blessed we are. We have, on a Sunday morning, almost 125 workers in the kingdom of God that make this place happen on a Sunday morning. Many people don't realize that. On the other side of this wall, there are probably about 125 children right now being taught and trained. They're not being babysat, taught and trained. Can you give all the workers a hand clap this morning? We are so blessed. We are a church that truly is transforming our region. Now, how do we know that? Because the mayor said so. The principals at some of the schools have said so. It's not us tooting our horn. They're saying that truly this house is transforming the region. Every single Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, they started last week, we've been going out and going down into the parks, feeding, clothing, praying, ministering, and leading people to Jesus. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday from 11:30 to 1. If you're loose those times, you want to go down and help. Not only that, is every Wednesday night and Thursday night, we still bus in right around 200-plus children. We feed them. We clothe them. We teach them. We minister to them. And then they go back and bring it to their families. So I don't know about you. I just want to give God thanks for all of those who put their hand to the plow and don't look back. This happens because of your faithfulness. Can we give each other a high five and say thank you, Jesus, that you are in the building? Amen. This is so important. Sometimes we just forget to say thank you. And as your pastor, I want to say thank you personally for doing the work of God. It's not one person. One person cannot. There are no superstars in heaven. Somebody's saying, well, what can I do? What can't you do? I think is the easier question. There's something that everybody can put their hand to. Go out to the hub and say, I'd like to participate some way, whether it be children's ministry. Some of you like babies. Now, I couldn't do the baby ministry. I couldn't change diapers, and puke just makes me puke. So I couldn't do that ministry. But, you know, I can do something for Jesus. Amen? Right after service, I'm going to go out with a team of guys, and we're going to plant a tree. Remember that tree we had up here? The tree that's planted by the river? We're going to plant it right out front there, and we're going to put a sign out in the next few weeks that's going to say, get planted in the house of God. And then every year you get to drive in and see it grow and see it bloom and see how beautiful it is, what happens when you get planted in the house of faith. Why don't you open your Bibles with me this morning to the book of Psalms, chapter 1, verse 3. I'm excited about this message. I've been preaching the gospel now over 30 years, but I've been ministering full-time for 29 years. I have never preached this word. What I love is when I open the Bible and God makes something I've read 100 times, jump off the page, get stuck to my face, and I can't get it off. And that's what's happening right now. You know, in my visual, you ever seen that slime stuff jump out, you know, hit your face? You just can't get that stuff off. And today, I want to preach on a message we're talking about that this year is about kingdom seed. Last year, we preached about kingdom, that seek ye first the, I can't hear you this morning, seek ye first the. Now listen, you had more sleep than first service, so you can be louder. Can I hear an amen? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You see, when you understand the kingdom, then you understand how God runs, which means God is not dictated to you and I. God does not run according to church or according to religion or according to quote-unquote Christianity. God is run, and God runs his kingdom by the Constitution, the Word of God. We talked about how the kingdom seed, about how kingdom is established, that God's kingdom is solid and from everlasting to everlasting. One of the main principles is seed. So this whole year we've been covering seed. Everything you need is in the, everything you need is in the seed. Everything you need is in the seed. So we've talked about seed. We talked about how our time, 168 hours a week, that is our seed. What are you doing with your time? What are you doing with your seed? Actually determines your success or your failure. A lot of people say to me, well, I can't find a job. How many hours are you seeding into a job? If you don't have a job, your job is to get a job, which means you should be seeding 8 hours a day looking for a job. Sure to get quiet in here, didn't it? That was free. That's not even in my notes. Everything we do is about seed, and the whole principle of God's kingdom is run by seed time and harvest. We know the prophetic word that God spoke to Noah that said seed time and harvest will never pass away. This is how you and I live. We talked about how our thoughts are seed, how every thought that literally happens in your brain, physiologically, I'm not talking religiously, I'm talking through physiology. Every time you have a thought that is a God thought, it literally creates what's called a thought tree. And literally, the memory can be burned upon the heart, the physical heart of a body, as well as in the brain. Every time you think against God, every time you think negative, you'll find that it literally still creates a tree physiologically in your brain. Every thought you have is creative by physiology, and they can prove it to you. I already did it in one whole sermon. You can go back on, what do they call those? The archives, and get it, the sermon, if you need to. But here we have thoughts are seed. We also talked about the different types of ground. We also talked about God's word is seed, that everything that God has declared is this. Jesus said that if you want to understand how the kingdom works, it's like a man who takes seed and scatters it out on the ground. He goes to bed, and when he wakes up, it's first the blade, then it's the ear. Whatever, read it yourself. Okay, so it grows. And he's not even sure how, but it doesn't matter if you know how. God's seed always works. 100% success is already programmed in the seed. And with the word of God, God's word is yea and amen. Can I hear an amen? God's word, not one jot or tittle, shall pass away before it's all completed. Can I hear an amen? And what that means is, if God's word is truth, then when we live God's word, it literally is the seed that brings harvest into our lives. Today, I want to start a new series. It's on words are seed. How many of you speak words? Well, I've already gotten you doing it. I said, can everybody say? Now, whether you realize it or not, when I was making a declaration according to the scripture, giving you verses, and I'd say, everybody shouted. Everybody shouted. Whether you recognize it or not, I was getting your spirit with words to join the word of God. You see, words are powerful. Words, we think we say words and they just disappear into the sky. But the fact is, it doesn't go into a wall, doesn't go into a ceiling. Science says when you speak words, they literally never stop. They're literally, once you release them into the air, they're going forever, even if you cannot hear them. Words are powerful, transforming. I'm not talking just philosophy or the Bible. I'm talking also science. Words are some of the most powerful things. Sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. How many of you know that's not true? We all know that words are powerful. And today I want to preach a message dealing with what's called the firsts. Everybody say the firsts. I'm trying to collect myself because I don't want to jump ahead. You see, there are things that are done in the scripture that are done the first time. And they are to grab our attention because that's the king teaching us how he works in his kingdom. We know that we have seed within the first 10 verses. We know that we have God in his principles within the first verse. And we're going to cover one today, and it's called the seed of your words. Words are so powerful because they literally transform the environment that you're in. The Bible says in Psalms 1 verse 3, it says this, you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, who brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. So the principle is the firsts. Everybody shout, firsts. Here's some basic ones. Seek ye. Seek ye. Seek ye. Not second, not third, not 26 and a half. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. When we activate God's principle and plan of first, he tells us what is number one. This is why so many believers are struggling so desperately. They struggle with their walk with God. They struggle in their families. They struggle in their finances. They struggle in their own minds. They struggle in their own physical bodies. Why? Because they've never done the first. When until you put Jesus first in your life, there will always be levels of chaos that will control you. When Christ is number one, chaos is dispersed. Light always drives out darkness. God never has desired you to live in despair. He's never designed you that you should just barely make it by. Survivalism is not the plan of God. It's God has called us to be more than conquerors through Christ Jesus our Lord. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There's nothing that I cannot accomplish, but that is impossible until Jesus is number one. The next one is seed. That's another first. We see that in the Bible, that God has created everything within the seed. That everything that we need, every kind of grass, every kind of soil, everything comes out of seed that we need. And so even every wealth. How many of you have an iPhone? How many of you have a cell phone? Let's just say cell phone. How many of you realize that's all from dirt? Every part of your cell phone has come from dirt. Every portion of it. Gold comes from dirt. Silver comes from dirt. Diamonds come from dirt. Every level of wealth on this planet has come from dirt. Everything you have has come from dirt. Adam was created out of dirt. Every bird of the air and every fish has come out of dirt. We already proved that a few weeks ago. Everything comes from dirt. So here we have the first of the principles, that God plants a seed. In fact, God even holds to his own principle. When it was time to have the Garden of Eden, did God go, whoosh, Garden of Eden? No, he planted the garden by seeds. Everything that God does is established upon his own principles, and he lives according to his principles. And that is that God is number one. That seed is the principle to prosperity. And then today, words plant seed for harvest. When we look at creation, we can actually see how God thinks. You ever heard somebody say, well, you know, the Lord works in mysterious ways. Who's ever heard somebody say that? Next time, slap them. It's good religion, but it's bad Bible. God actually says, I'm going to show you how I work. That's called the Constitution. You see, we have the laws of God, the keys of heaven, the keys to the kingdom, so we can understand how God works, so that you can call those things which are not as though they already are. We don't live according to the dictation of this planet. We live according to the word of God. That's what makes us different from the rest of the world. When the church is no different from the rest of the world, then why are we playing the game of religiosity? This is how God has transformed the church to be the ambassador of heaven, because we don't live according to the dictation of the laws of the land. Yes, we are to obey them, but we obey God above all. Can I hear an amen? And this principle of seed is so powerful. God did something in the book of Genesis that taught us this principle. And I want you to turn there with me, Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1 verse 3 says this: God said, let there be light, and there was light. God didn't think it. There was no telepathy. There was no... God spoke it. Now, this is the very first time we see God speak. And you see, when the laws of the first come into play, we start recognizing how creation is brought, how creation is established. Not only creation, but how God, by his very nature, is able to take nothing and make something. Something of thought, something of vision, something of faith, and bring it to fruition that now is touchable and tangible, that now that you can have in your hands. He said, let there be light. He spoke it into existence. Genesis chapter 1, verse 6, God said. Genesis 1, verse 9, God said. Genesis 1, verse 11, God said. Genesis 1, verse 14, God said. Genesis 1, verse 20, God said. Genesis 1, verse 26, God said. Genesis 1, verse 29, God said. How many of you know when you see it once, it's time to pay attention? Here God is teaching us how to run and how his kingdom runs. That when God speaks, that things occur. That when God speaks, literally things that you cannot touch, cannot see, that are not visible to the natural man, that are literally in the thoughts of heaven, God can take them from the heavenlies, something invisible, and make it tangible that you and I can have on this earth. Isn't that why you pray? You pray because you want God to bring an answer to your life, something you cannot see, because if you could do it yourself, why would you pray? We pray because we're believing that God is going to make the intangible tangible, the untouchable touchable, the inconceivable wonderful. It's time that God wants to show us how his kingdom runs. And until we grasp a hold of this, we can pray and it's nice. We can say and it's nice. We can hope and it's nice. But we sit back with no answers in our pocket. And we look at God and say, where are you? And God is saying, no, where are you? I gave you the principles. I gave you the constitution. I gave you the understanding. Now it's time for you to invoke what I taught you. And it's called the first. Every time God spoke, action happened. Every time God said something, miracles were released. Every time God declared it, he wasn't sitting back and saying, I hope this works. He knew that it was going to manifest something that was not. Let there be light. There had never been light. Let there be firmament. The separation between heaven and earth, there had never been. Let there be sea, there had never been. Let there be man, there never was. God, by his creative power, was teaching us and showing us that heaven is activated by the words that are in our mouths. And how we speak is literally the harvest that we have. Because every word is a seed to harvest. Now, we know this is true because the Bible declares that every one of us who are born again, if you're born again, shout, I am. I didn't hear you. I said, if you're born again, shout, I am. If you're born again, the Bible says that you're not going to be judged for your sins because your sins are washed away, but you'll be judged for your words and your works. See, words are that powerful, and God is showing us right here in Genesis chapter 1 that what you say, you get. And some of you are living in hell right now because you've sown that in your life. You've spoken doubt and unbelief. I can't get ahead of myself. I got to keep going. There's another first right here in the book of Genesis. It's the very first time that man spoke. I love this fact because God shows us so clearly that he spoke, he declared, he mustered up and made the declarations and miraculous things occurred. And then he said, man started to speak. Now, this is the very first time we see man ever saying anything. The one thing you recognize that every time God has spoken, that it is not cursing, it is blessing. Here in the book of Genesis, in the age of innocence, before man had created high treason, before sin had come into the world and there was a breach between God and man, the very personality and nature of God, the very design of heaven, was that when God said something, God declared something, it came to fruition, and then every single time, God blessed them. Verse 22, and God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, fill the waters of the sea, let the birds multiply on earth. Chapter 1, verse 28, and then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. You see, God loves to bless. It is his nature to bless. Some of you got this concept of God as this big ogre with a massive hammer waiting for you to make a mistake, and he beats your head down into the ground. He can't wait to laugh as he casts you into the lake lake of fire. I want you to know that is so foreign to our Father. For God is love, and we got to know him. But you can't know him until you know his word, because his word is from everlasting to everlasting. Christ said, what I came to do, I won't do anything of my own. If the Father's told me to do it, I'll do it. If you hear me speak, the Father spoke it. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. John chapter 14, by the way, if you're looking, verse 6. Everything we need to know about our Father is wrapped up in the Word of God. And this is why the devil has been so desperately after keeping you from the Word of God. He doesn't want you to read every single day. He doesn't want you to be in church every single week. Well, you know, Pastor, we're just busy. No, you're not. If you're too busy to give God an hour and a half a week at his house, then you're too busy. Well, don't try to guilt me. If there's guilt, it's your problem. Because the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourself as the manner of some is, especially in the last days. And we just watched England secede from the EU, which means, baby, we're closer now than we've ever been before. We're in a season and in a time where the church has to again get back to the Word of God. And the devil so desperately, your flesh so desperately, does not want to give up. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that your flesh is the very enemy of God. And you see, if you get the Word in you, you start to change automatically, because the Word is seed. When you plant the seed, it automatically brings a harvest. You don't even have to think about it. The more words you read, the more words you're in, all of a sudden, you're going to have a manifestation of God's nature, God's character, God's personality in your life. Last week, I gave everybody homework. I didn't go to church to get homework. Wrong church. I gave you homework to read the Word more, to listen to the Word more. Now listen, don't raise your hand. But if you did not, then you got to ask yourself, do you really hunger and thirst after righteousness? Do you really want more of God, or is this just a religious little conjuring that you have? We're not in this to build a church. If we were going to build a church, I wouldn't be preaching this way. If I wanted to build a church, then I'd just make everybody happy. Happy, happy, happy. The Lord wants you happy. It's happiness. Your happier days are in front of you. Happy. Happy. We'll get you out in 50 minutes. Bam! The pastor won't preach too long. The worship, you won't see anybody go out in the Holy Ghost. You won't see anybody worshiping with their hands raised. Oh, why? Because we don't want to offend anybody. I want you to know the gospel offends. The word offends. Why? Because it gets us to the place of recognizing how God's kingdom runs. And God's kingdom runs so powerfully. And yet the church is so weak and debilitated that the church is making very little impact on this planet. And the devil is just roused. He is so excited. But it's time to raise the devil. It's time to come again. Against him with the word of God, just as Jesus did in the book of Luke chapter 4, when the devil brought the word against Christ, twisted and warped, Christ spoke the word back to him, because the word is that quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's time to recognize this is not about religion. This is about you and I knowing God, you and I living in God, you and I living in the kingdom. I can't hear you. Say amen. See, when Adam spoke his first words, they were over the woman. Now, I've heard men speak to their women. I guess I'm guilty too sometimes. But Adam's first words that are recorded are found in Genesis chapter 2, verse 23. And it said this, Adam said, everybody shout, Adam said. Now, we know in chapter 1, who said? God said. Chapter 2, Adam said. He made this declaration. He proclaimed over his life. He prophesied in manner. He spoke words that brought life, and he said this. Now this is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she is taken out of man. One thing you'll find about Adam, until the fall, he only thought like God. He only spoke like God. What is God? Well, God's creator. God's not only creator, God is blesser. When he walked around the garden, he said, hey, pick up your shoes. He blessed his wife. He blessed the animals. God gave him dominion over them, that they would multiply. You see, he could not be an ogre or a dictator. He had to have the mindset of God. And that is when he spoke, and that's what he was able to do. He named all the animals on the entire planet. He was able to do that. Those are words. And the words are so powerful. And then we see another first here. And that is found in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. I'm almost done. I promise never to say that to my staff this week. I apologize again. It's habitual. We find the very first time the devil spoke. Isn't it interesting to recognize that God spoke, man spoke, and now in chapter 3 we have the devil speak? Now why this is imperative for us to lay hold of is because we can see in these simple three chapters how spoken words are either going to build us or destroy us. How every one of us in this room have the capability, because when you're born again, you now have the nature of God. You have a new nature. You don't live in the nature of your father of disobedience, and that is found in the book of Galatians chapter 2. But you've been saved, set free by the blood of Jesus, and now according to Peter, God has given you a new nature. It's the nature of heaven. And we know that according to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, the very nature, the personality of the Holy Spirit dwells in you, for you have been now called the temple of the Holy Ghost. And that is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Every one of us in this room have the capability to think like God thinks, the capability to walk like God walked, to have the capability to walk without sin. Can I hear an amen? But you see, this is where we find the very first words of the enemy. And this is the very first thing. The Bible says don't be ignorant of the devil's devices. You see, he has a plan to disperse the word of God. Why? Because the word of God is true. God is true, but let every man be a liar. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. The truth shall make you free. What's the truth? The truth is the word of God. But again, it gets down to, as I said last week, how many believers actually believe the Bible? Because if we believe something, we live it. Boy, it's a pretty shirt. You like my shirt? My young nephew said it looks like it came from his grandmother's curtains. I love that child. Here's what Satan said. You ready? Now the serpent was more cunning than all any of the beasts of the field which the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said? Look at this. The very first way the enemy worked was he spoke against the word. The very first and the strongest attack the enemy had that tipped over Eve, that tipped over Adam and Eve, that destroyed the relationship in the garden, was not that he ran in with a little thing and he offered this great amount. No, what he did was it had nothing to do with the fruit. It had everything to do with questioning the truth. The very first words were, and he said, has the Lord said? You see, when you start questioning the word, you automatically know you're stepping into the very first line of attack the enemy did to destroy mankind. So many of us sit back and we say we believe in the Bible, but when it's time for us to actually act on the Bible, we don't really believe in the Bible. Immediately doubts come in. Immediately we start getting in fear. Immediately unbelief. How powerful unbelief is. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 3 that the children of Israel could not even go into the promised land because of unbelief. We know that Jesus in the book of Luke, he went to go pray for a bunch of folks in his hometown but could do no mighty miracles. Why? Because of their unbelief. You see, the devil loves to seed unbelief against the word of God. The word of God is yea and amen. It is truth. It is said. It is settled. It will never change because God's word cannot change, or God is a liar. So what does the enemy do? He gets you to start questioning the word. And that couldn't come but by being said. You see, the enemy's first was to come against the words of the king, because if you can get to doubt the words of the king, then you will never believe that the word of God is true. You'll never act on the word of God. Now, listen now. Some of you, this is a struggle of your life, because you've lived religious for so long. And God is saying, it's time to get delivered from religion, and it's time to get down to really what this is all about. This is a relationship with God the Father. Either you believe God the Father is yea and amen, or you believe that he's just full of hot air, and hopefully he gets me out of hell. But I want you to know today that he is a loving Father, a passionate Father, a caring Father, a King of kings and a Lord of lords, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. There's nothing that he cannot accomplish. And we've got to say, God, I believe you. I believe not just what I want. I believe the whole word. And God, even though at times it makes me uncomfortable, I don't care what the world says. I don't care what the devil says. I'm going to believe the word above all things. You know, there are people that won't come back to this church because I preach like that. They won't come back to church because they don't want to be pushed. Don't tell me what to believe. Well, I'm telling you what to believe. The word of God. Either it's the word of God or the word of man. If it's the word of man, cast it away, stop playing games, and go to the beach. But if it's the word of God, don't let the devil speak in your ear. Don't let your flesh, the enemy of your soul, steal the word from your life. You see, if the enemy can get you to question the word of God, then you won't obey it. And if the enemy can get you to not obey the word of God, then your relationship always walks breached. That's an issue, though. Because isn't this about knowing God? Have you ever met somebody that, honestly, you could never break through in relationship with them? They're nice people, but they got so many walls up, you can't break through. Every time you start getting close to them, they run, they turn tail and run. I knew one person that when you got too close, they got mean so they could drive you away. God is not striving to do that. He says, I want to hold you. I want to be like a chicken and that holds its chicks. I want to hug you, hold you. I want to be there for you. I want you to know that I'll never leave you nor forsake you. This is not about religion. God loves you. He's passionate for you. He wants you to know him, not just know about him. And this is eternal life, that you may know the Father and the Son whom he has sent. John chapter 17, verse 3. God wants you to know him. But what happens is when we live a life of disobedience, we reject him. The difference between religion and relationship. We've got to be careful who we let speak into our ear. We got to be careful who we allow in our lives. We're so careless with one of the most powerful tools on the planet. Come on, you know what I mean? Somebody comes up to you and gossips in your ear about somebody that you love. And it's like crazy stuff, like stupid, like crazy. Like there's no stinking way that's even true. Where the what? But yet every time now you look at them, that's the very first thing that comes to your head. Even though you know it's not true. Because words are powerful. That's what God used to create. See, this is one that honestly changes us if we allow it to. I caught myself. Whose words do you actually hold higher? God's, your own, or the devil's? I just want to say it one more time. Whose words do you actually hold higher? God's word, your philosophical mindset, or the enemy of your soul? I've watched people get talked right out of Jesus, right in their own philosophy. Well, you know, I don't believe that. I haven't studied it. I don't really know anything about it, but I don't believe it. Talk themselves right out of Jesus, go into hell in a handbasket. They're going to end up in the lake of fire, and then go, boy, I'd like to believe now. It's too late. I've seen so many people, literally, they keep hanging around their same friends, and their friends start speaking to them. Well, you know that church. Well, you know that God stuff. Well, you know you're getting a little radical. Well, you know you should just be, I liked you better before. And I've watched, literally, individuals step away from Christ to win their friends. Listen, they're going to hell. Why follow them? Well, I don't believe in hell. See? It's a problem. You don't believe in the truth. God spoke first and released blessing. It's his very nature to release blessing. Words that will always bless you and encourage you and strengthen you. Adam spoke blessing with his first words. His nature was that of his Father in heaven. And the very nature of the devil, the very nature of the flesh, Satan spoke through the serpent, and his first words were the opposite of God's. He spoke unbelief, doubt, and death. And every one of us are in the same spot as Eve. Isn't that wild? 6,000 years later, every one of us are in the same exact stinking spot as Eve. Will I believe God's word? Or will I believe the devil's word? Will I believe what he says and hold a pinnacle in my life? Or do you have a greater philosophy, understanding of the kingdom, that now you are God and you can dictate to him? Or do you just simply let the devil tell you what to do? Some of you need an exorcism. And I'm not talking the devil getting cast out of you. I'm talking you get cut off from some of your peoples. Only hang out with those that are going to speak life to you and not death. They're going to live life and not death. And if you're hanging around somebody and you're going back to the same life you did when you were with them, then you're not benefiting them. You need to cut them off.
I told you, they're a cult.
Call it whatever you want. I'm going to tell you how to be successful. You can talk to any business person and they'll tell you not to hang out with people that have nothing, that won't do anything, that will never accomplish anything. You always reach higher because they'll always pull you up. Yet we don't even apply that to the scripture. Today I challenge you. Here's your homework for the day. Here's your homework. You ready? If you're married, if you're not married, just hang on. If you're married, I want your spouse to help you. Now listen, I'm not trying to cause family friction. It will happen. So when they get mad at you, just look at them and say, blame Pastor Spencer. Okay, that's fair. Here's your homework if you're married. I want you to judge how many times you speak life to death. Every time you speak death, your spouse should look at you and say, hey, hey, death, death. Now, if you're not married, what I want you to do is get an accountability partner, somebody that will hold you accountable, that won't be afraid. You know, the first time you go, death, they're not going to go, oh, you know, I don't want to hurt your feelings. You want them to look at you, death. I want you to judge today, and you know what's going to happen? A horrific revelation is going to happen. You're going to have an illumination that is going to be just, it will blow you away how often we speak against God's word and death rather than God's word and life. So has everybody got your homework? How many are willing to do it? How many can't wait to tell your spouse what you really think? Don't raise your hand. Bow your heads with me this morning. Father, I thank you so much for your word. It is so powerful and real. God, I pray that you'll help us. Lord, help our unbelief. There are some in this room, God, that want to believe, but Lord, have been so indoctrinated with their own flesh philosophy and also the world that, Lord, they struggle with believing your word. I pray, God, because I know your word is seed. The more word they get in you, the more they'll automatically believe because the seed always produces a harvest. Help us, Jesus. Give us a fresh passion for your word. God, we can guard our tongue, for our tongue is as the pen of a ready writer. Life and death are in the power of our tongues. We are where we are because of the seeds of our tongue. Because what we believe, we actually speak. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Bible says, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you shall be saved. You see, even with salvation, it demands vocalization. Isn't it interesting also with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking with other tongues, vocalization? Because God only gave it to us and no other person or planet. This is us. This is ours. We're after his image. Today, if you do not know Christ and you want him in your life, I'm not going to wait long. I want to introduce to you the very best friend you're ever going to have. He's going to change you from the inside out. And the seed that you've been receiving today will transform your life. If you'd like to receive Christ, I want you to slide your hand up right now. I'm not going to wait long. Thank you, young lady. Is there anyone else this morning who'd like to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? 5, 4, 3, 2. I usually pause there. 1. Let's all stand to our feet.